What's going on, our valued It's Content podcast followers? Before we get into the episode, I got something to tell you. Our podcast finally has its first sponsor, Beantown Brew. The go-to coffee if you want to attack your day. It's for the blue-collar worker, the 6-to-2 guy, the guy on the job site busting balls, the underdog, the people that go unnoticed. Beantown Brew is for you, and if you're not drinking it, what the fuck are you doing? Check out Beantown Brew at beantownbrew.com. It's currently not online, but it'll be online soon. Keep a lookout for it. Beantown Brew, the coffee for the hard-working blue-collar savage you are. Now let's get into the episode.
I can tell who's on the this Sean Stilato, I'm here with the It's Content podcast. Let's go.
All right, we're here. It's Content podcast. I think this is 29 now. I'm here with our friend, I'd like to say, Sean Stilato. Thank you. It's nice to sit down again. This is the second time we've done this.
Yeah, this is great, My pleasure, man.
Before we get into anything else, I wanted to ask you about your outfit. Can you break it down for me? The front, the back, the jewelry. What are you rocking here?
You know, so we got the royal blue. I actually wore this on Super Bowl when the Rams won the Super Bowl. I had good color sync. I do like my python. Nice. Some python loafers on. I like to carry a lot of my guys on the back. Yeah, what? Front. Inside the jackets.
These are all your guys you've worked with?
Yeah. Nice. You know, some of them, the last of the Mohegans. Wow. Some ate the poisonous fruit. yeah. But yeah, you know, those were guys that helped build, kind of the pillars of SES Sports. The fedora, that's kind of...
We know that's the signature.
The signature. The jewelry.
I love it.
Definitely my Lord and Savior.
What about this ring right here?
Yeah. It's, obviously the Italian Hall of Fame is something I'm... it was one of the greatest nights of my life. Having my mom and dad there, my wife and kids and my brother, and just think about who came before me. My grandfather Pasquale, coming over here from Sambayas, Catanzaro, Calabria, Italy, on the SS Conopic, lowest means of ocean transport, $14 to their name. And me being in that moment. And, the whole thing that was crazy about that, Tommy, is the night I got inducted, my grandfather Pasquale died several years back of leukemia on the same exact December 15th.
And you know what's crazy too that I just learned, and we're going to get all more into this in more depth, but I didn't realize when all the shit went down, the viral stuff, it happened the same week that you got inducted. That's crazy. So it didn't happen because of that. It was already happening.
I got my...
it just happened to fall in the same week?
Yeah. Just like Obama had to show his birth certificate, I'll show the letter. The letter's dated August of 2023. Yeah. So that was well before that. Yeah. Almost insane for that to happen.
That's crazy.
And the beauty of that is the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame is a 501(c). So all that viral exposure... put all that scrutiny on this 501(c), which benefits kids.
Yeah.
So that was it was almost my way of giving back to them.
Right.
That was the Italian football gods, working their magic.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, it's awesome to see all your success, and obviously an Italian American, coming from a similar background as me. But before we get into everything, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we got on the table right here. You're a man of many talents. You're an author as well.
Yeah. Obviously my day job's a sports agent. As my passion is when I was a kid, a lot of the books that I had to read, they weren't relatable. Mm-hmm. So my daughter Gianna came down with juvenile arthritis when she was 5 years
Which
old.
Which one is it?
These two. Right, yeah. So she ended up, and we decided when she was in and out of Boston Children's Hospital, we decided to write a children's book series to start a movement for kids with autoimmune diseases. And Coach Belichick endorsed the series.
Yep, on the back.
Yeah, yep. It's going to be a 4 books in the series. It's kind of like a Harry Potter meets the Goonies.
When did you guys release these ones?
So we released that one in 2019, 2021, and that dropped last summer, 23. The other picture book is my daughter Sophia has celiac.
Your younger daughter?
Nope. So she was, she's my second daughter. I am a girl dad, as some of you might know. Yeah, so that's Italian grandma. It's called Buddy and the Magic Ball, a Salem witch's tale. So it's another beautiful read for a different demographic for pre-K, K, first graders.
Got Adam Schefter on the back
Tracy McGrady. Brady.
Sean Payton. I love that.
Yeah, great. The great Tracy McGrady as well.
That's cool. So you got these three. Before I have asked my question, let's get into this book right here. This is the passion project right
this
here.
This is the passion project. This is my fifth child. No backing down. It was a long process to write that, to get a publisher, but... it's been out 10 years, 10 years in July, fifth edition. When I think about no backing down is kind of like my mantra, how I live my life. Mm-hmm. But when I played to being a sports agent, because there's a lot of challenges, a lot of things that come my way. And I really draw a line in the sand for what I believe in and how I represent players.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the beauty of that. So it's about a story, human triumph story. Quarterbacks living with his dying grandmother. Running back's brother gets hit by a bus. Latino from Santo Domingo passes. Captain of the team, his brother suffers a bacterial meningitis. Loses both legs before the season. Outside linebacker, mom walks in, needle her arm, dead.
Wow.
And then you have this legendary coach, kind of like a first-generation Coach Belichick. He's Italian. All of a sudden, they're not projected to win more than one or two games. They start winning game after game. They're undefeated, getting ready to play Swamp Scott, who the quarterback's Todd McShay, and his fellow classmate, who's I know watched the game in the stands with David Portnoy.
I've heard of him.
I think we know him. And long story short is the kids here have a forfeiture of the season, break into school, steal their equipment, stash at a local field. Coach comes down and kind of explained the dilemma, like, hey, administration said I can't coach. The union said I can coach because my job description has no relevance teaching and coaching in the CBA. So as he's talking to the kids, local police canine dogs come down, hit him with a cease and desist document, and looks at the kids, looks at the administration, boys, let's play ball. And this is all documented, Channel 457. So they have to make a decision. That night on Channel 7, John Dennis interviews the superintendent. He compares the coach to Jim Jones and David Koresh starting a football cult.
Oh, my God.
Which is completely false. Now I intertwine the parallels of the witchcraft trials of 1692 and the modern-day witch hunt to get rid of this coach. So kids get a police escort that Saturday. Coaches aren't allowed on the bus. They get to Swamp Scott, 12,000 people there. Mayor's there with bodyguards.
Wow.
Right before the game starts, we were going to play with no coaches. The coaches run out, arm locked, to coach our team, the kids.
Right before the game started?
Three games left. Don't want to give the story away. My connection to the story is I was the quarterback living with my dying grandmother.
You were the one living with your dying grandmother?
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, you just described the whole, I just saw a whole movie in my head as you said that.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. So this is all based on a true story. Everything you just said is all true.
True and as pure as,
that's unbelievable.
That air conditioner in the wall.
And you were the QB.
I was, my boyhood idol was Doug Flutie. I used to watch Doug's highlight film before every single game, the night before my game, and Doug wrote the foreword of the book.
Wow. This is amazing. So definitely go grab it. No back. Where can people get this?
They can go to SeanStellato.com.
Okay.
That's, anytime anyone orders off the website, they get a little extra trinket.
Awesome.
And then it's on, obviously, Amazon. There's, reviews on that. There's a trailer out there. It's got some great photos. It's a really great read. It's not just a sports story. Like I said, it's more of a human triumph story. And I'll challenge any sports story ever written to find characters this colorful.
Yeah. Are we going to see maybe the visual of this one day?
Script, the first draft was written by Angelo Pizzo, who wrote Rudy and Hoosiers. It was rewritten recently, and I got the final script by Salvatore Pashewicz, who wrote Age of Adeline, which maybe Adeline. But if you haven't watched that, Harrison Ford, Blake Lively, it's a great flick.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. So what's that process like? I mean, writing a fucking book, it's way out of what you do during your day job. So what was kind of like that process like, and then finding writers to help write it and editors and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know what? It was definitely a very therapeutic process. I went through a real dark time when I finished playing. But when I say dark time, I was trying to find myself, what I wanted to do.
What's your purpose?
And it was a 5-year project, but I watched every game probably 20 times. There was court depositions. There was a big legality to this because of the teacher strike and contracts. So having a background in that information. So I did a lot of due diligence on the history of Salem, to the history of the program, to the coaches, you know, interviewing, seeing grown men cry in my presence when I was interviewing them. I knew this was much deeper than and bigger than me. Salem, the city does a great job to preserve the legacies of the 19 falsely accused witches. I felt like it was my, you know, my job as the quarterback to preserve the legacies of our team and our coaches. And I've been so blessed to do what I do. It'd be, I'd be dropping the ball if I didn't do that. Because we all want to leave a legacy, whether it's monetary, whether it's something, you know, that's that can be put in print or a name on a building. And I felt, you know, me as the quarterback, that that was my fiduciary duty to my team. And I won't stop till everyone's in that movie theater and
I love it.
Tears are shed.
Well, I'll be there, so let me know.
And the other thing is my grandmother. She's my inspiration. You know, God rest her soul. You know, she was such a strong, independent, amazing woman that I think about every day. I carried with her with my heart. And it's almost a way for every book I sign, it's I can feel her presence with me.
I love it. I love it. Well, you heard him, SeanStellato.com to get all of these or just this one?
Yeah, all those,
Yeah, great. Well, I'll definitely check it out too after the episode. I think this sounds very interesting and would love to give it a read. But now that we've gone over your, you know, some of your passion projects, let's talk about, you know, the big job you got. I mean, everyone already knows the viral moment. Everyone already knows kind of who you are at this point, but I want people to know like the real you, you know, how you grew up, where you're from. So obviously you're from Salem. Do you want to just dive into a little bit
Salem,
how you grew up?
Grew up eight of us, three-bedroom house, Witchcraft Heights.
Witchcraft Heights? That's
a
neighborhood.
That's the neighborhood. Wow, I mean, can you imagine that filming in a movie in Witchcraft Heights?
People are going to think it's like Halloween Town or something.
Yeah, it is. I think people don't realize that it's an app. People actually live there. It's not a theme park during October. But yeah, you know, my mom and dad grew up in Boston. My grandparents immigrated from Ponte Grande, Catanzaro, Calabria, Italy. That was always something. Grandmother was in the basement, you know, cooked every Sunday after Pop Warner games.
That's funny.
Which was great. But yeah, all of us were real close. My aunt lived with us, my cousin. Dad, my mom and dad were amazing. You know, one thing I'd say, love, support. It was just unquantifiable. But we never traveled, never went on vacation. It was just literally everybody, you know, grinding, hustling. And you know, my mom was a homemaker, but you know, I look at success as the, you know, the realization of a worthy ideal, and she was the best at being a homemaker, the love, the support, the going
Your
to
parents
school.
Are both Italian as well?
Yeah, so my mother's got some Italian in her. My father's looks like he's straight out of, you know, an episode of Godfather. Dark. And that's something that my father always preached about family and the ancestors, who came before you.
Well, that was going to be my next, you kind of went to the next question, was how do you think your Italian roots shaped you, like to who you are today?
Yeah, I think from loyalty, from passion to family, to food, to fashion. I think it really shaped me a lot. Obviously, growing up, you know, in the 90s, you know, being mid to 90s, being in high school, you know, watching, you know, all those from Goodfellas. I think I was in middle school to Bronx Tales. Was one of my favorite movies. Then the Casino and Heat and, you know, obviously then transitioning into Donnie Brasco and the Sopranos. But, you know, one of the things about family, my dad, I looked at, he reminded me a lot of the character of De Niro in Bronx Tale.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. My dad had a high school
education. The father,
He had a high school education, but he was just so committed to the our family and such a hard worker.
What did
and,
your parents do for work?
So my mom was a homemaker, and then my I had two older brothers, so one of three boys, and then my dad worked in a company that designed electronics. But he sold, you know, from sofas to then getting into that side of things. So, but he was a street smart guy. You know, that grew up in Winter Hill in Somerville. My uncle, Frankie Steele Stellato, was a former pro boxer, went to the Olympic trials. So boxing was always a big part. But, you know, Doug Flutie, I watched, I was, you know, 6 years old. I watched with my dad, he's holding my hand in Waylu's, Salem at the East Indian Mall. And he said, come here, come here, we got to watch this last play. And Flutie gets, throws a Hail Mary against Miami. And I was like just absolutely anointed with some sort of magical power of that pass. I said, Daddy, I want to play football and I want to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
And shortly after, he gave me a football and he said, hey, this is going to be your compass.
Wow.
This is going to take you and you'll be able to do things no one else will if you truly work hard, you're honorable. And he goes, never forget from where you came from.
Well, I heard on the, I was listening to the Hardcore Italians podcast you were on. You mentioned, like, he said something about, you know, there might be people that are smarter than you or more talented, but, you know, you can't let anyone outwork you or something, yeah, something along those lines.
You know, he preached that, and that's one of the things I used to watch as a kid, my dad, how hard he worked. And he did preach those words to me. That was with the ball. Like, no one can, you know, someone might be faster, stronger, smarter, but no one can control this or that. And, you know, I really took that kind of that mindset and that wisdom that he shared with me and ran with it.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, I heard you were a good player, at Salem. And then you played at Marist.
Yeah. Correct? So actually Salem. And then I had an opportunity, this whole no backing down experience. You know, the coach was let go after the season.
Yeah.
I had one more year of high school. So I ended up going to a prep school for a year.
Okay.
Called the Gunnery.
Gunnery School, yeah. I played hockey, so I know all those Nobles and all those schools, yeah.
And that changed the whole trajectory of my life. I got a scholarship to go there. Coincidentally, my jersey's getting retired on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So, thank you. That's so awesome. I'm so happy and honored and proud, but humbled because, you know, the founder of that school, Frederick Gunn, you know, amazing individual. You know, he believed in, you know, that athletics was part of a holistic education. And, you know, really to have that opportunity and to be put in that environment with just, you know, I think it was like $37,000 a year then to go there. And I got a scholarship. But to be in around that, it was either sink or swim. So I really learned how to be a student, not just an athlete.
Yeah.
And came down to Marist, Richmond, Columbia, West Point. And I didn't get into Columbia and West Point. Close. My mother doesn't fly. Went to Marist, played two Division I sports there. Great
what
experience.
Was your second
football
sport?
And basketball.
Oh, you played basketball too. Yep. Wow, look at that. What position?
Point guard. Yeah. So we were deep. Nice. My backcourt partner, Bobby Joe Hatton, they beat the LeBron and Allen Iverson in the 2004 Olympics.
What, really?
Yep. We had another kid, Sean Kennedy, played for the Cavaliers a little bit. A lot of international players, but that was first time I ever flew. We went to California to play Pepperdine.
Oh, really?
And it was a cool experience. You know, college, two sports. You know, I was the only hooper in the family. My dad grew up in Somerville, which his high school team that he wasn't good enough to play on used to open up for the Boston Celtics when they won all those championships.
Oh, wow, really?
So he used to put me to bed telling me stories about that and some guy named Havlicek.
You know how to say the name, Justin?
Havlicek. He stole the ball and then, you know, Cousy and Russell and all these guys. And it made me, and the next thing you know, it was like a Field of Dreams moment.
Yeah.
My dad is literally having a tree cut down, ripping up grass, paving it over, and I got a basketball hoop, and it's about as wide as our bathroom. But I was out there all night, day and night, stroking portable light on, looked like a stick figure, middle of the winter, year round. And so I really turned myself into a hooper, and we won the state title. I played with a kid, Scooney Penn, in high school, 25-0. But hoop was always
Scooney Penn? What?
Yeah, so Scooney Penn.
Did he play in the NBA or no?
So he was drafted.
How do I know that name?
He was drafted, I believe, second round, 57th or 8th pick with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, got cut, but then he went overseas. But he had over 2,000 points in high school. Phenomenal player.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, so it seems like athletics and football and, I mean, just athletics in general, you play basketball too, was really rooted into you.
Yeah. You know what? That was a way for me to really express myself and being an undersized player, you know, and sports speaks a language we all can understand.
Yeah. Universal.
It does. Yeah. And then I was blessed. I went on to play pro football for a few years in the Arena Football League.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was cool. That was kind of the fix I needed and really, you know, I met my girlfriend, who became my wife, my third year of college. And, you know, we came up with a game plan, like to push it as hard as I could to get to the NFL and came up short. But it really laid down the foundation for.
You ever watch Invincible with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah.
It's giving me that. You know, Invincible.
So I watched that in the movie theater and I cried like a baby. Yeah. And I had an epiphany. And next thing you know, 3 months later, I am down in Florida, and my first couple of years as an agent, and I'm still in pretty good shape. And I was at a kicking camp with my client. He finished. I get a call from Bernard Edwards, who played with Chris Carter at Ohio State, who was my receivers coach in Florida.
Oh, wow.
He said, "Hey, where are you, man?" I said, "I'm actually just north of you, but I'm." He goes, "Hey, I just got the head job of a team, the Florida Tarpons. You want to come down and work out for me?"
Wow.
And here I am, just saw Invincible, in great shape.
I know. It's like everything's just aligning.
So I have my first child, so I go down there.
Yeah.
And I get down there, and I'm literally in a full-fledged Under Armour jumpsuit. And I got everybody's looking at me like, that kind of like giving me the eye test.
How long out of the sport were you, competitively playing?
4 years.
Oh, wow.
So I go down, and long story short, I left that workout, and some of the dudes that I was going against, they're like, "Man, damn, you're the White Kenyan." And I was like, I was killing dudes in that workout, and all my test out numbers were off. And so he grabs me when I'm leaving. He goes, "Hey, where you going?" I'm like, "Oh, man, I just, I thought I did it." He goes, "I want to offer you a contract."
Oh, wow.
So I just had my first daughter. I was like, I thought hard.
What team was it?
It was the Florida Tarpons.
Okay, okay.
So it was an arena team. And I just said, you know what? If it was the NFL, then I had a chance to go to training camp. But I said, if I get injured, severely injured.
I know.
That would be so selfish.
I know.
But you know what, Tommy? I proved something to myself that night.
Right, yeah.
That I cherish and I go to bed with every day. Yeah, that, you know what? I came up short of the NFL. It wasn't 1972 where you could go to all these open workouts.
Yeah,
Invincible doesn't just
show
happen
up
today.
Yeah, no, like, just no, show up and
you know,
try
that's out. A great story, yeah. But it just doesn't happen like that anymore.
Were you wearing the fedora while you were cooking these dudes on the
Yeah, you know what? I look at Sylvester Stallone, Frank Sinatra.
Well, that was gonna be the next one. When did you start wearing the fedora, how you dress?
Yeah, you know what? The dress thing, be honest with you, my grandmother worked in Filene's.
Okay.
So she used to come home.
So you had the fashion.
And yeah. I loved Miami Vice. So I was rocking that white coat. And my grandmother always, and then my mother was always into the fashion too. To this day, she looks.
I gotta see a prom outfit.
Yeah.
You definitely had a crazy prom outfit.
Prom, I had black pants, white. White prom tux, bow tie. I was in some fashion shows in college, and the fashion component, I've been, nicknames in high school, styles, they used to.
Styles?
Yeah, I used to.
Styles, Stilato.
Yeah, I used to really like to dress.
No, it's a skill for sure.
It is, you know what? And I look at, people get their ink.
Yeah.
Braids,
cornrows.
Expressing
yourself, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I felt like the fashion side of things, and my wife thinks my first life was in the 20s.
I heard you say that.
I've been wearing fedoras, I want to say, I would probably say 2005.
Wow.
And so I've got way back. I got a lineup and a half of fedoras.
That.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that kind of plays into, the character or what people view you with, now, you have I don't want to say cartoon character. I don't mean in a negative sense, but people picture you as this figure, almost like a staple of the football community now. So with that, how did you, because with my head, when I'm thinking of a sports agent or an agent in general, I picture an Ari Gold, or I picture an uptight suit. I feel like you are different. You're a lot different in that sense. So how do you feel like you differentiate yourself from these other agents, or why do you think you attract some of these clients you have?
Yeah, I think, and I guess everyone has their spiel of what makes them feel they can be the best they can be in their craft. I don't like to conform.
Yeah.
I don't like to follow suit.
You have your own lane.
And that's yourself. Something that I've been doing a long time and that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And I guess, look at the guys. It's a very competitive industry. There's, I want to say 1,696 active NFL players right around there. Mm. 8.4 billion people on the planet.
Yeah.
There's over 800 agents. There's not a lot of fish in the sea. I think, my guys know when they sign with me what they're going to get.
You also mentioned something too about you like representing those underdogs, or you kind of connect with people that have that sort of background or mantra.
yeah, that chip on their shoulder that maybe have been overlooked, maybe been told they're too small, maybe the, you know, the political side of things. I think that's very relatable to all of us. I've represented second, I've had second and third round draft picks, so which I don't really consider underdogs, but you know, in terms of the Chris Manhertz is and my long snappers going to year 10, two-time Pro Bowler, a lot of those guys, you know, Cam Lewis with the Bills, scrappy, tough, blue-collar guys. We all, I think, kind of feed off each other when it comes to that. Tommy DeVito. I mean, Tom, we got the Heisman by 28 teams last year.
I know.
28 teams said no. And Tommy is a phenomenal quarterback.
No. And that was going to lead into my next point was I wanted to – so you became a sports agent directly after college?
So I finished –
And that was more to just stay in the sports field in some way? Or why did you want to become an agent?
Yeah, I saw the movie Jerry Maguire. And I said at my – in high school, my senior year, and I said, you know what, if I could still be playing, I obviously would be. But it was either going to be a coach or a sports agent, but I was always magnetized seeing Jerry Maguire, the business side of the sport, and then playing and kind of having that bird's eye view of like pro sports is strictly business. And the fact that I know I could help young men that wanted to play in the NFL, I felt like I had not just from the human capital, but more of the past experience as a player was a dangerous concoction. So I really wanted to be able to help guys that were coming from similar backgrounds. And then seeing Maguire, I thought was kind of a cool part of the business.
Well, it seems like you and Tommy are like a match made in heaven, you know, two Italians, similar, seems like you guys maybe had similar families or whatever it may be, backgrounds. So how did that come about? How did you sign Tommy? How did that relationship start?
Come on, Tommy. You know you're never going to tell your grandmother's sauce.
Well, give me the Ragu version. The
Ragu version. You know, Tommy and I kind of met years back. And, you know, Tommy was an Elite 11 quarterback. He was went out to the Oregon Open. You know,
he wasn't an overnight success that everyone, the media might have portrayed. You know?
Yeah, they did, and they got it out of the gate. But he, you know, went against Tua in that Oregon Open MVP. I think Tommy, you know, and I, obviously, we knew. Look, the Italian thing was important to us. You know, our heritage, family, both put premiums on, and he knew, you know, how he had that adverse situation in Syracuse, and reinvented himself at Illinois. That I think he saw the value in what I could do for him in terms of the past case studies. And, you know, watching, you know, I've been to seven Super Bowls, watching Tommy that Monday night game beat a really good Green Bay Packers team was honestly one of the most monumental moments of my life as a sports agent.
I bet.
Because, you know, it's always the quarterback, you know, it's, you know, you got role players and I love my guys that get their uniforms dirty, but the quarterback position is such a, you know, it's such it's a
different.
High stakes.
It's definitely different.
It is. Yep.
And that was, you know, probably the night that it changed, you know, your life, to be honest, way, which is a blessing. But before I even get to that, I want to ask, what's your relationship like with his family? I feel like you guys have a close relationship. Yeah. I see you and the dad kissing each other on the cheek.
He kissed me first.
But that's like an Italian thing, though.
I saw him at the Yankees game Saturday. He goes, the kiss. He goes, kiss heard around the world.
The kiss heard around the world,
The kiss felt around the world.
Yeah. The wrist movement heard around the world, too. Seen around the world.
It did. You know, his mom and dad, great people, and it's a testament to Tommy, you know, how he was raised. His dad groomed him from 5 years old to be a football player.
Really?
Yeah, did a great job putting him in the right situation.
I feel like that's such a big pot, you know, with a lot of these kids that make it is having that proper support system behind them from a young age.
My daughter, Sophie, is a level 10 gymnast.
Oh, wow.
Is phenomenal. You didn't meet that one, but she's been doing it since 3 years old. Wow. And she is.
And how old is she now?
She's 15. She's getting handwritten letters from Utah, who's the number, I believe, second team ranked team in the country. That's awesome. So, but that's her bliss, her passion. But yeah, Tommy, his brother, I think in terms of the jersey, there's a lot of passion out there for the heritage, too. Yeah. And I think that was such a premium they put on it, and Tommy put on it, and what I put on it. But yeah, being just to be able to experience that moment with his family. And the connection was really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole thing with that viral thing, with the beauty of that for me was that that was great because it's such a segue for all my guys. Tommy, obviously, we're able to take it to another level for him. And then some of my other guys creating opportunities maybe that they got a little bit more exposure from brand standpoint.
Yeah, brand friendly. Yeah. So take me through that night, though. I want to hear, like, you know, obviously. So I remember because I was with the Scarlatta Twins in New York watching that game specifically. I didn't know that. Yeah. So I was with them in New York watching the game.
You three are a dangerous concoction. Yeah.
Don't forget Prosciutto Poppy.
Prosciutto Poppy. He's you four. I know Prosciutto.
Yeah, but you still haven't even met him yet. So I guess
I haven't met him. He commented on my post. We can talk about about the Yankees jersey.
You might have been a little out of line there, though, as a Boston guy.
But, you know, I obviously. The Yankees hosted Tommy and I. They custom made jerseys for us. My Salem Little League 1989.
Oh, they made you a jersey? What are you going to do? Not fucking.
I mean, I'm still waiting for some more Boston love.
Yeah, but, I know, right. I know. You still haven't gotten.
Yeah.
Still waiting on this.
all the Red Sox or Celtics or Bruins. But
take me through that night because I remember on the screen watching the infamous shot. First, it was you on the field on the phone. Yeah. I think you were with Tommy. I don't know if you even met him, but I remember that shot.
Yep.
And then obviously as he's driving down the field, they're panning to his family with you. And it kind of just became this life of its own. So take me through that night. What was it like?
You know, I knew it was going to be cold. I knew it was going to be a tough matchup. His first Monday night experience on primetime TV.
Wow.
So obviously the attire was important. And I figured I was going in there with a tough guy look. You know, the black pinstripe. I have the fedora. Obviously, if I didn't have the fedora, I'd have looked like Bozo because the wind was bad.
And how many games did he start up until this point? Was this his second?
He started, I want to say, Cowboy 4. There was his fifth straight start. So coming off of
Did he have a little steam already going
into
this
game? Did. Week before, he beat a really good Patriot defense.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then the week before that, had a hell of a game, NFC, Rookie of the Week against the Commanders.
Yep.
So he came in played pretty good. So my daughter, Julietta, picked out the gold Air Force Ones, one of my clients for me. So, and I got onto the field and it was just, I always talk to my daughter before she goes to bed, either bedtime story, my kindergartner, my Sienna Sicily. So I had her on the phone and then I was working on a deal for him. And then it was just crazy how I didn't even know I was being filmed, photos, anything when I was on that.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Crazy. And then I get in the stands and my wife texts me like, Gianna and Sophia came to me and she said, Daddy's going viral. And I'm like,
oh
what?
Oh, God. This is during the game?
I'm like, what does that even mean? I'm going viral. so that's like right when I got into the stands. You know, then obviously the game, Tommy was 17 for 21.
Right. He had a fucking amazing game.
Amazing game and has a 2-minute drill.
I won some money on the Giants that night.
Then, good for you.
Well, I was with the Twins. I'm like, I got to bet the Giants. Yeah. They were like a plus 400 or something.
Really?
Like, they weren't supposed to win that game.
No, they were
definitely playing a better team, and they went down and they upset them.
They did. That was a hell of a game. That was a hell of a night. It was cold, one of the most magical experiences I've had.
What was the immediate reaction kind of? I mean, obviously that night you probably had a good time, you know, whatever, but the next day, like, did you just get hammered with emails?
My phone stopped working. I stopped getting text messages and I was screaming at my mobile carrier. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
People are hitting me up. They're calling my wife. My wife's phone almost stopped working. And it was just then people are hitting me up. Hey, can you do these interviews? This. And I'm like, you know what? And then I heard a couple remarks, Peyton made. And I was like, you know what? I got to, because I'm a very curious guy. I'm not judgmental.
Of course.
So I figured, I heard all the stereotypes and I'm like, man, I got to put that BS to bed.
Wait, so, I mean, I don't know if you want to, you don't have to talk about it if you want to, but what was said? Because I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, you know what? And I kind of moved on from it, but it was just, he made a remark. And I just.
Like talking about like an Italian stereotype kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe how my look was. And I just, I was disappointed.
So you were like, I got to go on these interviews so people know who I actually am.
Yeah, yeah. As a human being, course, as an agent, and being a dad of four daughters and being a married man. So, it was just, I was very gracious.
That next day, I mean, I don't know if this was all in one day, but like you had the Pat McAfee show, ESPN, NFL, different news outlets.
Yeah,
like,
CNN, World Sport.
What do you think the coolest moment was for you? Obviously they're all amazing opportunities, but what was kind of the coolest one in your opinion?
You know, the Pat McAfee and Barstools, pardon my take, was just.
Oh, so you did pardon my take too?
I did that live in studio out in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Which was great because it was before the induction.
Yep.
I was in Chicago. I just just came out of the Chicago Shriners Children's Hospital, where I brought them gifts and had an interaction with the kids. That was cool. Going right in with Bearcat. I believe Bearcat.
Big Cat.
We're going to do the Oklahoma drill live in studio. but he's great people, man. He got a great coffee, by the way. Spider out there. Nice. That was a cool experience. But just being able to really talk about the journey and talk about my clients how much they mean to me and how proud I am of them. And, that was a cool experience and all leading up to the induction on that Friday in Chicago. Right.
So, let's talk briefly. I know it was short on time, but we'll briefly talk about the induction. So that all that happens that day and it just happens to fall on the same week of your induction, which I think is when I heard you say that, I thought it was like, I'm like, there's no way this is true. But you got inducted for that. When was that?
So I got my letter in August. So for my dad's birthday is August 21st. So I took him all out to dinner. Part of his gift was that letter opening.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And he literally got teary-eyed. And
and it's the Italian-American Hall of Fame.
So it's the National Italian-American
Sports Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to be just humbling and great, honored to be in the same Hall of Fame as Joe Montana, Dan Marino. Right,
yeah. You must have been the celebrity there. Did you have Pete? You must have been a hot commodity there.
when we pulled up in the Sprinter,
yeah,
it was probably like 100 deep of people out front trying to autographs, photos.
Wow.
It was just
holy
like
shit.
I know it was almost
it was like days before, right? That
happened on Monday. The induction was Friday.
Oh my god!
It was like
can't even make it up.
Can't make it up at all. So that night was that was such a moving night. My parents been married 62 years. Mm-hmm. They came. They don't fly. They took the train out.
Oh, wow.
And then my wife and, kids, my brother, and then my college teammate, basketball teammate was there. Tommy's parents were there.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. One of those nights, but I was able to really preserve the legacies of my ancestors how we preserve legacies, we talk about them, we keep them in our heart. And being able to share that and to just hear my, my parents and my wife, everyone could know how much they mean at me and the role they play. Because, family is my wealth, and having them there was just it was something I'll cherish forever.
Of course, definitely.
And that night, so happening that week was like you just said, it was almost like hitting the lottery.
I know, no shit. I mean, that's awesome. That's going to be a dream of yours too, especially coming from such deep Italian roots. Like myself, that's a dream come true.
It was because sport. That's the one thing. You can be overlooked. You can be small. You can be not that fast. But like we talked about, working hard, staying focused, and just not listening to the noise.
Yeah, 100%. And that's staying locked in, tunnel vision.
So it was almost, I live the motto, the best revenge is massive success.
I love it. Well, we're going to start wrapping up here. I have a few more questions. Number one, who started Tommy Cutlets? Where did it come from?
Yeah,
because I know some people have different opinions. I got my own opinion, but I want to hear it his horse's mouth.
He loves his mother's chicken cutlets.
Yep.
So I think there was a few stories behind it. So I think, something from the home front with the cutlets.
Yeah.
We always hear, certain names like, especially from Goodfellas, Tommy two
would
times.
Would you say Stylo Stallato? Is that your college nickname?
I think they call me
Stylo Stallato.
That was high school, college. They used to call me the Italian Stallion.
The Italian Stallion,
Stallone's people sent me a fedora.
Oh, you told me that. That's
which
awesome.
Was really cool because, someone I look up to. So I think that being, the passion, being Northern New Jersey.
I got to give some credit to my Scalata twins too.
Yeah,
I remember after his first victory, they came out with a video immediately, and they were like the Italian court, plays the whole New York Italian thing.
Yeah, they do a great job.
They do a great job, and they said Tommy Cutlets, and then I think Saquon retweeted it or something.
Yeah.
From there, Saquon started saying it, and it was like the whole thing.
They're gonna take it.
I gotta give them credit because I see a lot of people taking credit. I'm like, I just gotta hear. I had to hear.
Yeah, you know
first.
What? They do a great job.
No, they're awesome.
And
yeah.
we actually connected for the Ricky Stenicki.
They told me.
We're on the orange carpet together.
Yeah, I love it.
That was a great night.
I love it.
So yeah, I
wanted to finish off with a little Italian talk, a few Italian questions. Can you give me, and this is a little off topic from sports, but you know, we have to do it. Can you give me your top three Italian movies or Italian inspired movies? Yeah,
so I would say first one would be, I love Bronx Tale. I mean, Bronx Tale was something.
The worst thing in life is wasted talent.
Yeah, and I just thought it showed it from both sides, the hardworking Italian that's driving buses to the obviously the organized crime side, and then a kid that was kind of stuck in between and what he wanted to do. Chaz, I'm a huge fan of. He does a great job.
Chaz Palminteri.
You know, the Brian song, the Brian Piccolo, which was kind of, I know it's a football movie.
Yeah.
It's not really Italian. But I would say second, I love Goodfellas.
Of course, staple movie.
Staple movie. And then the third, I'm trying to think, you know, obviously I grew.
You got it. I know you got it. You were just talking about him.
In terms of Any Given Sunday, I mean, okay. I love Pacino as well.
I was
well.
Thinking Rocky.
Oh, I let me rewind it. I'm sorry.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you threw me off guard 100%. Yeah. That would go one.
Because I feel like a lot of people forget that, you know, that's considered an Italian American story.
Sylvester Stallone, underdog Rocky. Story, that soundtrack plays in my head every day. I do a lot of boxing and a lot of martial arts training. Awesome.
I'm just picturing you making your daughter's breakfast with the music playing with the fedora on.
And I've went in and punched meat before.
Have you?
Yeah. I'll get you that. And my buddy owns
meat market. We got to do a skit in there. Where is it?
You know what? I gotta.
It's in Massachusetts.
It's not far from here.
We'll figure it out.
We're gonna figure it out. A skit. All right.
One more. What's your go-to Italian dish?
My daughter, Sophia, has celiac disease. So when we went to Italy, we ate everything.
Yeah.
Everything's, unless you go to Tuscan Kitchen. Yeah. Joey Farro, I expect a free appetizer. I think my wife has done a remarkable job in terms of I've been eating gluten-free for 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is challenging at times, but my wife makes a mean gluten-free chicken cutlets.
Okay.
That are phenomenal. I love, my mother-in-law makes a really good homemade lasagna.
Yeah.
She does a gluten-free lasagna. And you know, my mother's meatballs are obviously off the charts too. My wife, I'm pretty regimented into the diet.
Yeah.
Because
you look great. I mean, you're in great shape.
It's a big part of my makeup. I mean, look, I might have to get in the ring with an agent, right?
Yeah, you never know.
I mean, for a 3-round charity. I wanted to call one agent out, 4 years ago, and my wife talked me off the cliff.
Really?
Do
you want to call them out?
Call them out. Just, you know, like I said, just a quick, easy 3-round celebrity boxing, all for charity.
Okay. You have someone in mind or no?
You know what? We might, when we come back, take two.
Okay.
We might call them.
Do you have a favorite Italian-American athlete of all time? Any sport.
I want someone that I really admired, Italian-American athlete. I mean, there's a lot. There are a lot.
Because for me, I was thinking you obviously have Joe DiMaggio. You got Rocky Marciano.
I would probably say, and it's funny.
Yogi Berra.
Yeah, I would say it would be a concoction of Rocky Marciano and Joe DiMaggio.
Okay.
Yeah, Rocky obviously going undefeated, retiring young, being from Brockton, Paisan. Yeah,
yep.
He's in the National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame.
I always forget he's from Brockton. Yeah. Like right here.
Yep. And then Joe, obviously, the longest hit streak.
Yeah.
And my connection, too, I know Prosciutto Poppi mentioned it, just to get clear.
You didn't like that, huh?
Well, you know what?
He was just busting your balls.
I know. It's all good. I love Boston. New York, I'm very connected. I went to college there.
Of course.
My first championship in any sport as an athlete was for the Salem Little League Yankees.
Wow.
And that's why.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that's why I wore the pinstripe and them doing the whole thing there. So I wanted to clear the air there and show you and our viewership.
Oh, yeah. I'll show the camera.
Yep, if we can see.
We can put it on the screen, too, so it's easier.
So, and I can get you that. That's in the pinstripes.
Go right on your Instagram. It's on your Instagram,
yep,
too.
Yep, it is. Yeah, you know, obviously having a chance, too, to collab on the Dunkin's thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that – well, the draft's when? Thursday, right?
Draft is Thursday.
So, have you been in touch with the editor? Or
yeah,
going
we're going
to
drop
it?
Tomorrow.
Oh, I am?
Yep,
okay, we're going to drop. I'm excited to do the collab on that. That's
I mean,
be
that
fun.
Was like magic having a chance, you know, to work with yourself.
It was awesome. I had a great time. We had a full – we had extras there. We had all this camera. We were shooting three different angles, a scene. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And having a chance to obviously then do the podcast there, the first take, and having the kids listening.
I know, yeah.
So you know, you obviously, you're doing killer work. Your content is ab workouts for me.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously, yeah, the collab there, I'm excited.
I'm excited, man. Yeah, no, again, I appreciate you coming on, and as an Italian-American, as a kid from Boston, it's cool to see you doing what you're doing.
No, and
I know you're inspiring a lot of other people who might want to be a sports agent one day.
And you know what? And Tommy, I appreciate you recognizing that. And I was at a couple stadiums, the NFC Championship, and I had probably a 7-year-old kid come up to me with a fedora on.
Oh, really?
He says,
that's awesome.
Hey, I want to be an agent. And,
that's awesome.
And I gave him a pack of football cards, and I said,
love that.
It was a cool moment. So, yeah, I mean, I want to be that kind of that agent for the people.
Well,
anytime
you can do what you love and you're helping other people too, I mean,
you never
work
a day in your life if you do that.
No, not at all.
But I'm really passionate about my faith. I'm passionate about helping people, the literacy, you know, and obviously my clients. I'm only as good as them.
Yeah, go to SeanStellato.com, get your books. Anything else you want to plug? Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, social media at SeanStellato, SES is my Instagram. Twitter's just at SeanStellato. Facebook, I got a little currency left over that limit. website, SeanStellato.com. You know, shout out to my man, Chris, you know, over at Dunkin's.
Chris, what is it? Angelo? Is that your last name? Angelo?
Angelillo.
Angelillo.
I didn't want to butcher the last name.
Chris Angelillo Dunkin. What's the address for that Dunkin?
Chelsea.
276 Beecham Street, Chelsea. If you're going to the casino, you need a little cold brew before the blackjack table. Stop there.
Yeah, stop
there. Or after.
Or you need a shot of a double shot. You know, like I said, can I get a large black job and a turbo shot with an iced tea for my guy and my daughter.
And, this is going to come out Saturday, and the draft is Thursday.
Yeah.
The video's coming out tomorrow. So make sure you check our social medias. Go watch the Dunkin' video, the skit. I think people are going to get a kick out of it.
I think they will get a kick out of it. It's the day in the life of the agent.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I take great pride in, you know, the whole thing with the kids. You know, those kids had a chance to come in there and learn.
Yeah.
And have a moment with complimentary juice and having a chance to meet you and Ian and then seeing Tommy on FaceTime and, you know, my little spiel. I mean, I liked it. You know, I was a little bummed out, though. The Dunkin' suit was a little big.
A little big. Yeah. I know. You get a little tight fit.
I know. You're working out hard. But,
I know. I think it came out great. I think people are going to get a kick out of it. I loved, you know, like the whole concept of it. Like, you know, 15 minutes of fame. Go fuck yourself. Like, this is me. This is Sean Salato. the whole play on it was I thought it came out great.
Yeah, you know, and I thought we were able to really bring to life what you and your, you know, comic, you know, style and approach in front of the camera.
I think people are going to appreciate it too, because I feel like, you know, you hit that Italian audience.
Yeah,
I do too. So I think there's going to be a lot of overlap.
Yeah,
a lot more than we think.
Without a doubt. And then the icing on the cake was, you know, Tommy, obviously draft day is important to him because he.
Oh, and you got him on FaceTime for the video.
Yes, and I set up at his house last year. His dad's a plumber in his office.
Oh,
and
really?
He, the entire day three, working the phones. So he, I know, has a major appreciation for draft day even more now. So yeah, that was cool. But
that's awesome, man.
I know.
Well, I'm looking forward to it again. Check social media. It'll be on Instagram. Probably throw it on TikTok, wherever. It's going to be everywhere. Check our social medias for the video. And Yeah. Thank you again, bro. Appreciate you coming
my
on.
My pleasure. Remember, no backing down, baby.
No backing
Tommy,
down.
Tommy, God thank bless. You, keep crushing that weight loss program. We're You're going. Looking great.
30 pounds down.
Good. Let's you go. Know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Baby steps, and you're going to get there.
Going to lay it brick by brick.
Yep, you're a puppy.
And I don't know if you knew this, but at the end of the day, it's all content. This is the It's Content podcast.
Yeah, nice.
At the end of the day, everything's content.
Content.
It's all content, guys.
All content. I'm learning, man. I'm a little above the Gen Z, but I'm learning about the content side of things. And
so you can't even say it. Content.
I'm thinking of Pee Wee Garrett. I'm thinking of Elias Neal, Russell Dandy.
Style Stilato, baby.
I'm thinking of where my guys are going to sign this weekend. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you at the draft party if you can make it by Thursday.
Definitely,
all right, perfect.
Yeah. All right, Sean, thank you again.
You got it, brother. My pleasure. I can tell who's on the way out. 25 shows, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'm going to stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gonna let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? Have my ex-girl got a bait now. But she still let me stay now. I got a Dallas and a H-Town boo. Got a Betty on Cape Town too. Ooh, 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 ooh. Okay.